out the old and here comes the new. And I've had this experience in my life, just as you have, and you've heard others say this. Well, you know, what's the big deal about a new year? Same old, same old. Nothing's going to be any different. And then you have the opposite approach, which is, boy, I can hardly wait for the new year because things are going to be different in the new year. How many of you are making resolutions for 2018? No one? Well, that's probably a good thing because what we do typically is we break them quickly. I've gone through this, so I'm not making any resolutions, but I can tell you from my heart this morning that I want to be new and improved in 2018. I don't want to be the same old Stan. Now, some of you might say, well, I like the same old Stan. Well, there's some parts of me I don't like. And I would reflect back on 2017, this year, and there are things that I want to be different in my life. And I want the Lord to change these things in my life because I know that they're many times not honoring and glorifying to Him. So, let me ask you a very personal question this morning. So, where are we spiritually in relationship to the new year? It's interesting, again, as you ask people about the new year, where they are in relationship to the new year. Some folks can't move into the new year because they're stuck in the past. I've known individuals who are still living in the 50s. Just by listening to their stories, it's like, hey, come on, let's get out of the 50s here. We're in 2018 now. And some folks simply are not able to get out of that time frame. Paul, when he was thinking about his past, he wanted to forget it. And I think it's a healthy thing for us as we reflect back on this year, that when you remember some of the things that you probably said, some of the things that you probably did, and maybe they weren't the best things, that we can say, I want to forget the past, and I want to move forward. And Paul is going to exhort us to do that in the book of Philippians. So if you have your Bible with you this morning, I'd like you to open to Philippians chapter 3. And I'm going to read verses 12 through 14, the third chapter of the book of Philippians, beginning with verse 12 through 14. Now keep in mind that the book of Philippians is written to a church at Philippi. It's a new church. Paul was very instrumental in starting this church. It was a fairly healthy church. Paul had a great relationship with this church. They supported him when he needed money. I personally think that Paul is writing this letter from prison in Rome, thanking the Philippians for their love offering to him, because he needed things at prison, and they were sending him a love offering, and Paul appreciated that so much. But he also shared a lot about his life in this small epistle. It's very personal. If you were to go in and just sort through this small letter, you'll notice that it's very Christ-centered. And then secondly, it's very personal, because Paul's going to share a lot about his life and his desire for the church at Philippi. Well, he's going to share here in verses 12 through 14 that he wants to forget his past. Look at verse 12. Not that I have already attained or already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we realize again as 2017 is leaving us and we're starting a new year this evening. Father, we're thankful for the gift of life and we're thankful for another year. And it is my prayer as we reflect and contemplate a little bit on this morning, that you'll impress upon our hearts, our lives once again this morning, the importance of letting go of the past and moving on with you. So Lord, just speak through your word this morning, for we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Look again at verse 12, as Paul is sharing this. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected. I hate to bring you some bad news this morning, but none of you are perfect. And you'll never be perfect this side of heaven. All of us are going to have our struggles. Every year, we're going to have struggles. And sometimes it feels like we take 2 steps forward and 3 steps backwards. Have you ever had that experience? You feel like you haven't made any progress when you look back over your life, and you're frustrated, and you're discouraged because you want to move forward. In my counseling experience, I have listened to many individuals who have shared with me, "Pastor, I just can't move forward because when I think about my past and I think about what I've done, it just destroys my present and even my future." I've had individuals say to me, "Well, Pastor, can God really take my past away?" Well, you know, the past is there, but we don't have to dwell there. We don't have to live there anymore. So whatever we've done in the past, we have to let go of it. We have to allow God to wipe it clean out of our minds and hearts. Because so often, if we go back there, it's going to wreck our present and even wreck our future. When Paul is saying this to the Philippians, he had quite a past. When you read about what he was before he met Jesus Christ, he was someone who was advancing in Judaism. He was someone who was persecuting the church of Jesus Christ. He was consenting to the death of Stephen. He was there arresting Christians, going from town to town, putting chains on them and disciplining them. He was hurting them. He was really a bad man. And I'm sure when he thought about that, he thought, "Man, how could I have done that? How could I have been that man?" But by God's grace, as he was on his way to Damascus, he met Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ got a hold of Paul's heart, and he became a new and different man. But I'm sure he struggled with what he had done previously in his life. You know, all of us are like that. When I reflect back on my life, there are many things that I'm not proud of. Many things that I don't want to share with anyone. Because I'm thankful, first of all, that the Lord has forgiven me of those things. And that I can let that past be done in my life. I don't have to visit it on a regular basis. Some people can't get out of their past. Therefore, they're not living in the present and not able to live in the present. So where are you today? Are you stuck in the past? Maybe it's someone that you haven't forgiven. Maybe it's something that's happened in your life and you just can't forget it. You can't let go of it. Well, I want to encourage you this morning, by God's grace, to get out of the past and to leave it and allow God to change your heart and mind and make you new and improved in 2018. Is that a possibility? I believe it is. And all of us need to understand we are a work in progress and God wants to change us in the new year. When I began pastoring in Cavalier, North Dakota, you know, I had no idea what I was getting into, and when I became acquainted with the people and I became acquainted with the community, and I was out there sharing my life and being involved, and many times I would encourage someone to come to our church, and they would look at me and they'd say something, "Well, you know, Pastor, we thank you for the invitation, but really, we can't go to your church." And I said, "Well, why?" "Well, there's someone in your church that hurt me about 20 years ago. And I just don't want to see their face, and I certainly don't want to go to the church that they're going to." And I thought to myself, 20 years ago, don't you think you should let go of that? Why do you want to hang on to that for 20 years? Now, who's being hurt in all of that? I think it's the person that's hanging on to that. When I came here in 1995, and I was out, again, mingling with the community, I remember an individual coming up to me and saying, "You know, I'm not so sure I can come to First Baptist Church." I said, "Well, why?" "Well, you know, I know some of the people there." And I said, "Well, yeah, I'm the pastor of these people now. So what's wrong with them?" They said, "Well, Pastor, we really don't want to share this with you, but, you know, there's some issues there at First Baptist Church." And I thought to myself, wait a minute. They're not my issues. "Well, you probably inherited them, Pastor. So what are you going to do about them?" "Well, I couldn't fix them." And they didn't want to come because they had been hurt by someone in this church. Now, I've been here for 22 years, and by God's grace, that's becoming less of an event in the life of this church, and even as for me as a pastor. Recently, I had the opportunity to go out to La Porte and visit with the family, and they had visited our church, and they were sharing with me how they liked our church family, and they felt that the people reached out to them. They felt that very welcomed, and I thought to myself, man, that's where we should be as a church. That's what it's all about, accepting people and letting them know how much Christ loves them. And they said, Pastor, we're going to come back to your church. And I thought to myself, well, I hope that is the sentiment among many, many people, that they want to come to First Baptist Church. And what do they think of when they think of First Baptist Church? Well, I hope it's a group of people that love Christ and want to grow in His mercy and His grace, because that's what we want to be in relationship to this community. So we can't do anything about the past. We have to let go of it, but we can do something about our future in Christ. Now, the second thing that we have to consider as we look at 2018, are we so preoccupied with the future that we can't live and enjoy the present? It's true that there are people, as they look towards 2018, that they're looking even beyond 2018, and they're so caught up in their future that they're not able to enjoy the present. And that happens with so many individuals. Most of you know, as I'm getting older, I've been encouraged to get advice from financial advisors, so because you should plan for your future. And I'm thinking to myself, well, that sounds great. I may not have a future. I was sharing that with this guy, and he said, boy, that's really dismal. That's really dark. He said, don't you think you're going to live? And I said, yeah, if the Lord allows me to live, if He gives me life, extends my life, I'll live. But you can't get so caught up in the future that you are not able to enjoy the present. And I see that with so many individuals who are planning their retirement. If you want to make God laugh, plan your retirement, because He'll change it usually for you. And I've seen this as a pastor. I've seen individuals, they're counting the days, the hours, the minutes, the seconds when they are going to retire. And then they retire, and it never lives up to what their expectations were or what they thought it was going to be. So rather, we should say, if the Lord wills, and if we are able to do what He wants us to do, we will do it. Now, this does not rule out planning by any means, because the Word of God is very clear to us that we need to plan. But as we plan, we need to ultimately submit to what God is going to allow to happen in our lives. You know, we have some individuals, young individuals here, we're going to head out on a mission trip very soon. Ashley and Tyler Peterson, Abraham, and they're going to be heading out. And I'd like you individuals to stand right now, just to stand where you are. Tyler and Ashley, husband and wife, and Abraham. And they're going into some very dangerous areas. And I'm so privileged to be your pastor and to support you and to pray for you. And I want you as a church family to realize again your responsibility to pray for these individuals. They're going to be leaving very soon, probably in the middle of January. Abraham, when are you leaving? Okay, and when are you leaving? The 16th. All right. So we will keep you. You may sit down. We'll keep you in our hearts and prayers as you venture out on your missionary journey. And the reason why it's so important for us to pray for them is because that they're going, like I said before, into some very dangerous areas, and they need God's protection. And God will protect them as we bring them before the throne of grace. But getting back to making plans, how many of you already are beginning to fill out your calendar for 2018 and you're making plans for the new year? Some of you probably have plans tonight. Maybe the cold weather will change those plans. You never know what can alter or change your plans. But we love to make plans. God wants us to make plans. As we read in the book of James, James chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in all your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. We read in the book of Proverbs, as again, God's word is very balanced, that we do need to make preparations and plans. But ultimately, we need to submit these plans to God. And we always need to preface our plans with this: if the Lord wills, if the Lord allows, then we shall go forth according to what His plan is, not necessarily our plan. Preoccupied with the future. When we were meeting with this particular financial guy, he was asking me, well, Pastor, what's your goal? What's your financial goal? And I thought, well, I really don't have one. He said, well, everybody has to have a financial goal. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to retire. And I said, well, what does retirement have to do with anything? Well, aren't you getting to that age where you need to think about that? No, I'm only 65. Well, that's when most people begin to retire. And I said, well, I'm not even middle age yet. He said, what? You know, as you begin to think about your life and what the future holds, we really don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And that's the promise that God has given us. And if the Lord tarries and allows me to continue to be a pastor, then I want to do that. But He could take me home in a second, just like that. And I'm okay with that too. Because when I think about that, it's going to be a wonderful place. It's going to be filled with God's glory and grace. And we won't have to put up with this 30 below. When you think about the place of torment and you think about a place of fire, you know, you think about the opposite of that. You think about a frozen place. And I think being in a frozen place is just as bad as the opposite, being in a very hot place. You got up this morning and you ventured out. You are people of faith. Faith that your car was going to start. Faith that you weren't going to freeze on your way here, that you wouldn't have any car problems. And you realize the importance of meeting together and fellowshipping with one another around God's Word. So I want to congratulate you on being individuals who are brave and hardy Minnesotans this morning. Don't get so preoccupied with the future. Think about what's happening today. Jesus said in His Sermon on the Mount, He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Is that true? You guys, every day you get up, you realize you have to get out there. You have to go to work. You have to battle the elements. You have to do things, perform things, accomplish things. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And don't worry about it, and don't get preoccupied with it, because it'll rob you of your joy and peace today. And then finally, the last question I have, are we living in the present? Oh my. Our God is the God of the present. He didn't say, I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. He did not say, I will be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Our God lives in the present. And that's where we need to be. We need to be enjoying what God has given us today. That's why we call today the present. It's a gift from God. Every day is a gift from God. He's granted to us life today. And He wants you and me to enjoy this life that He's given to me and to you. He wants all of us to understand that this is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Well, what does He want to do with us today? He wants to change us. And I don't want to be the same old man that I was in 2017. I want to be a new, improved man in 2018. And how can that be possible? How can I be new and different next year, which is going to happen 12 o'clock tonight. 2018 is coming. How can I be new and different? Well, it's not that complicated. What we have to do is allow God to have more of us. We need to be less in control of ourselves, and we need to have Him have more control of us. It's called submission, surrendering to God each and every day and saying, Lord, how can I improve my life? And how can you improve my life? Because He will do that for you if you're willing to allow Him to do that. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we read this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Don't you like new things? A new year? Is anybody excited about the new year? Are you saying, oh, same old, same old. Old stuff, no big deal. Here it comes, so what? But what we need to get excited about is the possibility of being new and different. When I think of my marriage to my wife, I want to be a better husband. I think of my relationship with my children and grandchildren. I want to be a better grandfather and father. I want to be more of what God wants me to be and less sometimes of my failures and what I've experienced in 2017. Do you believe it's possible to be different this year? Do you believe that God can change you? Are you willing to allow God to change you? Because it definitely is a process and it's a cooperation as we allow Him to have more of us. This verse is saying, if anyone is in Christ, all things can become new. You can have a new marriage. Oh, man, I tell you, lately in our church and just in the community, it's amazing how many marriages are falling apart. You need to go to work on your marriage. And I'm saying this from a pastor's perspective. Because if you don't make an investment in your marriage in 2018, when 2018 is up, you may not have a marriage. I see marriages dissolve, and it breaks my heart. I see families torn apart, and I know that it's a work of the enemy. Wouldn't you like to see improvement in your marriage? Come on, husbands and wives, wouldn't you like to see improvement? Yeah. Wouldn't you like to have a marriage where every day you get up and you're just so thankful, you look at your spouse and you go, oh, I just can't believe that you're my wife or that you're my husband. You're so special to me. Some are going, that'll never happen. Forget that. You know, seriously, it breaks my heart when I see families dissolve, families break up. And I know it breaks the heart of God. So I want you, husbands and wives, to go to work on your relationship and to say, God, how can I be a better husband? How can I be a better wife? How can I be a better mother? How can I be a better father? And you'll have enjoyment. We have out on our marquee a sign that says, the Bible, God's plan for the new year. The problem with most of us, we know what God's word says, but we don't do it. We're not following through on what He says. When God tells you to love your wife, husbands, what does that mean? What does that mean, love? What's love? Is it just a feeling? Is it just an emotion? There are more songs written about love, and there's less understanding about love in our culture today. Love is not just a feeling. Love is an action. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. That's what love is. Isn't that an easy thing to do? Oh, it's so hard. But if we start loving the way that God loves us, things will be different. It's amazing how when we begin to act out God's love, how our feelings change, and even the feelings of those that are around us. Oh, how we need the grace and mercy in our marriages and homes in 2018. Not only in our married life, in our homes, but individually, as we grow in our sanctification with Christ, how important it is that we become new and improved. Yesterday was a very difficult day for me. Some of you realize that there was a young man, 26 years old, that committed suicide. And we had his funeral here in our church. It was the longest funeral that I've ever been at. It was over 2 hours. It was very heart-rending. It was very difficult to sit and listen to this family grieve over their 26-year-old son. This son was a very gifted man, gifted in music, gifted intellectually, but he was overwhelmed with depression. He fought it for many, many years. And he finally gave into it and took his life. And as I was at that funeral yesterday and I had a part in it, I was the pastor, it broke my heart completely. It just ripped my heart out to see this family at Christmas thinking about the new year without their son. And as I think about where we need to go as a church and what we need to do as a church is to realize that there are so many hurting people out there. So many hurting people. And they need us to come alongside them, to pray with them, to share with them the hope that we have. This man was a believer. This young man was a believer. He had given his life to Christ when he was 10 years old. Suicide is not a sin that will keep you out of heaven, but it is a sin. It isn't God's will for anyone to take their life. It's what we call murder. You're murdering yourself. But I'm so thankful that when a person is born again into God's family, they never lose their salvation. They're either going to become an obedient child or a disobedient child. In this situation, this young man was being very disobedient when he took his life. But it reminds me of all of our lives and all of the trouble and all of the challenges that we're going to face in 2018. How are we going to approach them? Are we going to approach them with God's grace and with God's word? And are we going to be mindful of the people around us in the body of Christ? How we need each other and how we can support one another. Hard to understand how a young man can do that. Hard to understand that anyone could take their life. My daughter said that it's become an epidemic in Phoenix lately. In the last 2 weeks in Phoenix, there have been 5 suicides among young people. And there was a young man who was only 14 years old, junior high, that took his life. And the reason why he took his life is because he had tried out for a sports team and he got cut. And he couldn't deal with it. He had given up hope because he could not make the team. And I think about that. Come on. What's going on? Well, we know what's going on. We have an enemy who wants to destroy us. We have an enemy who wants to see us destroyed. And he's doing a very good job of it. And we want to see less of something like that in 2018, especially in the family of God. We don't want to have to deal with that ever in the context of this church or any church. So may God help us as we move forward in the new year to become what he has saved us to become. If you'll notice in that one verse, in verse 12 of the book of Philippians, it says this, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ," or Christ Jesus, "has laid hold of me." Jesus has saved you for a reason. He has saved you with a purpose. And he wants you to see that purpose in the new year. And he wants you to live that out in the new year. Can we do that? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to say, "Yes, Lord, I want to be new and improved in this new year. And I want you more in my life and more in my home." Let's pray. Father, we realize again that as this new year approaches, that there are many who are struggling. It seems like at every Christmas and new year, there are so many issues that come out. And Lord, I think of this family, and I love everyone here. I'm so thankful for each one. And Lord, how I pray for their protection in the new year. And I pray if there are homes that are struggling right now, Lord, that you will work through their lives. that you'll change their homes. They can be new and different. Lord, may it not be the same old, but may it be new in Christ. Where we ask it in his name. Amen.